that job last time. It got me back up here. I was trying to get out of this, but here I am again. No, I'm just kidding. You know, there was a little boy at the foyer of a church one time looking at flags, of little flags that were placarded on the floor, on the foyer. There was pictures of men and women. He asked the pastor, walked by, and he asked, "Pastor, what is the meaning of this? Flags and pictures of men and ladies. What's this supposed to mean?" And the pastor said, "These are men and ladies that have died in the service." And about that time, the little boy kind of shrunk his head and kind of was a little bit scared. He asked the pastor, "Which service, morning or evening?" So maybe you'll die. I'm not hoping that you'll die in the service, but kind of misunderstanding is funny sometimes. Some misunderstandings are not funny. They divide people, but some are funny. And that was funny, so laugh at it if you want. If you don't want to laugh at it, throw it away. Don't worry about it. Acts, turn your Bible to the book of Acts, Acts chapter number 10. It's always scary being up here. I don't know why, but it is. But there's not a lot of you, so I can take this. Last time there was a whole lot of people. This time not too many. Acts chapter number 10. And when you get it, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that we can call you Father. Lord, thank you that you have bought us with your blood, Lord, and you shed it on us on the cross, Lord, for our forgiveness. Thank you so much, Lord, that we can study from you, Lord, from your word. Lord, use me as an instrument, Lord, whereby you can talk to your children today. Lord, and I pray that you'd open our hearts, please. Help us to learn. Lord, I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I just want to read this for you. It's the story of Cornelius, Acts chapter number 10, and we'll start in verse number 44. The Bible talks about here Peter and going to Cornelius' house. And this is what the Bible says. While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word. And they of the circumcision, which believed, were astonished. Those were the Jews. And as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnified God. Then answered Peter, "Can any man forbid water, that this should not be baptized, which should have received the Holy Ghost as well as we?" And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then prayed they him to tarry certain days. And it was kind of neat. God used a Jew to go witness to this Gentile family. Because back then, the Jews, well, still some today, that have prejudice against Gentiles. In fact, there was a group of people, the Samaritans, that are part Gentile, part Jews. They hated them. They hated them purposely. When they would travel, they would skip Samaria. If they had to travel to a certain direction up north, they would skip to the east or to the west instead of going through Samaria because of their prejudice against those people. They just didn't see them as fit. You know, if the Philippines were up north and America was here, I'm going to be the Samaritan because I'm half. And so if you're American, you might not like me. Or if you're Filipino, you might not like me. And you go to the east or to the west. So just don't drown. But anyways, that's what's happening. They didn't like the Samaritans or the Gentiles. And since they got saved, they received the Holy Ghost. The Jews did. By the way they received the Holy Ghost is different than we Gentiles received the Holy Ghost, as according to this passage. This is a book of transition, the book of Acts. And it's transition from God's ministry to the Jews people. When Christ came, he tried to get the Jews to get saved, to see the truth. He didn't really work with Gentiles in a specific manner, like, I'm going to go to this place. Although he went to the woman at the well. And even there's a story of God, of Jesus, whether we like it or not. He referred to a woman that was a Gentile as a dog. And the lady said, and this is good, like Pastor was talking about importunity praying. And the lady, instead of getting offended, she said, "Well, even the dogs can get the crumbs from the master's table." Well, what a positive attitude she had. And God said, "Man, your faith is great." And so she got what she wanted. But she was a Gentile. God was not particularly working with the Gentiles. He was trying to get the Jews. The disciples that he had were Jews, trying to get us, trying to witness to us. In fact, the first apostle of the Gentiles was Paul. And later on, you know the story of Paul on Damascus Road. But God is working with people. He took the Jews, trained them little by little, and so that we can reach the whole world. That's what God wants to do. He's not prejudiced because he chosen Israel. Think about it this way. People didn't like him. People were mad at God after what happened. And God had to start with somebody. God had to start with somebody. And God chose Abraham. God's sovereign. He can do that. He could have chosen whoever was back then, some weird name. But he chose Abraham. And Abraham was promised that God will give you a nation and call you Israel someday. God's not prejudiced because he's chosen Israel as his chosen people. He just wanted to start somewhere. And he started, and here we are. We're a product of them. We're a product of the apostle. We're a product of Christ. We're a product of what happened. And God looks at the big picture, and he wants to save all people. There's going to be a lot of nations in heaven. There's going to be a lot of tribes up there. And it's going to be an exciting time to see all those people we can't see on earth as our brothers and sisters. You know, I'm going to talk about the church just a little bit and the function of the church. Just 3 points I want to make, and maybe it could be a help to us. You know, the church must be empowered by the Holy Ghost. The church must be empowered by the Holy Ghost. In order to be empowered by the Holy Ghost, the church must be a saved church. The people that come to church must be saved. And the church I'm referring to is not the building. I'm referring to us. To human beings, you and me. We're the church. We're the bride of Christ. It's kind of wrong. It's kind of funny if you think about it. Christ would be married to this building. He's married to you. He's married to me. You know, we go to our house, and that's the building, but that's not the home. The home is the people inside. That's what makes the home, the people. And what makes the church here is us. And we must be saved. We must be saved. And we see the story of this Cornelius getting saved. In fact, before Paul, and later they started the church in their house. But anyways, be saved. Not only that, if you're saved, the Holy Spirit comes in and dwells. Once we get saved, according to this passage, as Gentiles, we're Gentiles. I don't know if anybody's a Jew here, or related to one, or part of Jew. But they received the Holy Ghost. They received the Holy Ghost the minute they heard. They were not baptized. The Jews had to hear the word of God, had to get saved, and then was baptized before they received the Holy Ghost. And then as a smack to their prejudice, Samaria was the same way. Samaritans, they received the Holy Ghost after they were baptized. And you can see that in this book. I don't have time. You can see it in John. That's a good study, but I'm not going to do that. But the Gentiles, a smack in the Jews' prejudice faces, and said they got saved the minute they heard it. That's why Peter said, what in the world is going on here? Peter didn't want to come to this person. In fact, God had to show him a vision. You know the vision. And Peter didn't want to go. And God said, you better go. I told you to go. Go. And that's where they went. He went and talked to these people, and they received the Holy Ghost before they were baptized. Man, that was a smack in their face. Can anybody put this about it? Do we have to baptize them? Because if we don't baptize them, in their mind, probably they're thinking, they're going to be better than us. Look at this. They were not even baptized and they received the Holy Ghost. We had to get baptized before we received the Holy Ghost. But it's amazing how God uses things and kind of faces us with things. We think we know something and God says, what do you think about this? Huh? You know what? What do you think about this? It's kind of neat how he does that over in the Bible. And as being empowered by the Holy Ghost comes with gifts. And he brings us gifts. And that's the other thing about the church. Not only are we empowered by the Holy Ghost, meaning we're saved and indwelt by Him, but also He gifts us, gifted by the Holy Ghost. The church is gifted by the Holy Ghost. And we must see that. We must see that because it helps the function of the church. It helps us. It helps us. So we must understand that we're gifted by the Holy Spirit of God as a church. 1 Corinthians. Turn your Bible to 1 Corinthians chapter number 12. It's in the New Testament. That's what the Bible student teacher told me. So it's going to be there, I know. You know, people think because you go to Bible college, you know a lot. I had to work hard to get this thing done. I had to study as much as anybody would if they come through and talk. Just because you go to Bible college doesn't mean you know a lot. In fact, you go there, you don't know anything. Gifted by the Holy Ghost. When the Spirit comes in to dwell in a Christian or in the church, his gifts come along with him. It surely does. 1 Corinthians chapter number 12, we'll start in verse number 4. Now there are diversity of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administration, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to everyone to profit with all. You notice that? It profits every one of us, not just you. God's gift for you just not profits you. It profits all of us. And all in all, notice those phrases in there. Those are very important as we go on. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom. To another, the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. To another, faith, but the same Spirit. To another, the gifts of healing, but the same Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. To another, diverse kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. I'm not going to go to tongues and all of that. Pastor is going to deal with you with that. I'm not going to do that. I don't have time to do all of that. The gift of healing and all of those. Some of those are just sign gifts. Because the Jews wanted sign. They want to see something. They're always lived by sign and wonders. If you look at all the Bible, they always want to see something. That's why God said to them, remember when he was talking to Thomas and them, blessed are they that have not seen it but yet believe. Because the Jews always want to see something. That's why they were so confused when Jesus came. And they thought, oh, the Romans are gone. Yippee-yahoo, there's our king. But that's not what happened. That's not what happened. Because they don't see spiritual. They always see something carnal. And sometimes we fall in the same predicament. We look at the carnal things. Oh, this is what's going to happen. Wait a minute. Wait on God. He's got something better than what you're thinking. But I'm not going to talk with that. Another, the working of miracles. Another, prophecy. Another, discerning of spirits. Another, diverse kinds of tongues. Another, the interpretation of tongues. By all these worketh the one and the self-same Spirit. The same. The Holy Spirit of God is the same Spirit. Dividing to every man several as he will. God is sovereign. We must look at him at that. He's sovereign. He is sovereign. He will do what he wants to do. Do you not do the same? Do you not do the same? Do you do what you want to do? What do you think God doesn't do what he wants to do? Do you think he has to answer all your wishes all the time? He does what he wants. And as several as he will, he gives us gifts. We're empowered by the Holy Spirit of God. We're indwelt by him. Now he gives the church gifts. Gifted by the Holy Spirit of God. There's a diversity of gifts. We read it already. I'm not going to go through that. We got this diversity of gifts. And we can also read that in Ephesians 4. There's a list in Ephesians 4 and Romans number 12, chapter 12. You read those in your time. Those are good chapters to read about the church. 1 Corinthians 12, Ephesians 4, and Romans 12. Those are very good chapters to read about the church. Since you guys go to church, it's good to know about the church. It really helps you appreciate the church. It really helps you love the church. And it helps you sacrifice in the church. Because you just don't see it. That's what you see it now. You see it a lot more. The church is a magnificent thing. It's really wonderful. The purpose of the gifts. The gifts of the Holy Spirit must be used for the benefit of each other. It is used to minister to the people. It is used for edification. Romans chapter 15. Let's turn right over there. Romans 15. Romans chapter number 15 and number 2. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. And that's hard to do. I have a hard time with that. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. For even Christ pleased not himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproach thee fell on me. You know, every time somebody gives you a funny look when you're passing out a tract or when you're helping somebody and they find out you're a Christian and they don't really like Christians, God gets reproached. Did you know that? He sees the same face you see. The rejection and this feeling of like, I don't know why people like, it's funny, you walk down the road and there's two of you fellas and they automatically think something. You notice that? Before you even go in the door, they might be outside washing their truck. They're just having a good time listening to boom, 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 rock music or country music or whatever music they like to listen to. And you walk by and you say hi. And they get this, oh, it's just so funny look in your face. Like, they don't even say, like, hi. Some of them give you, like, you kind of feel like something inside. Maybe they know what we are. They know what we're up to. And you're going bus calling or something like that. It's just funny. It's just, I don't know. I wonder if we were, you know, sometimes I think I just dress up like, you know, big baggy pants with chains all over me and put a bunch of earrings in my ears and spike my hair and put colors on it. And maybe if I go like this, I wonder what they'll think of me. You might say, hi. Maybe they said, man, good music you have. Maybe they like me. I don't know. But God feels those reproaches. So don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid to talk to people about Christ. It's hard. Do you have a hard time to give a little tract in your pocket when you're at Walmart, even though you know the people? Or I do, a Walmart hamburger I do. It's hard to go like this. Can you read this, please? It's really hard. You ever notice how hard it is? Do you? Have you ever tried? It's hard. Hey, I'm going to be, you know, you know, people are like, you're crazy. You just out there yesterday, not bragging or anything. I was so happy because I passed out 1,000 tracks by myself. I said, yes, yes. And there's a whole bunch of them that did it. There was Sam and Caleb and a bunch of other people. And some people had 2,000, 3,000 tracks in their backpacks. They must be heavy. I only had 1,000. And they passed out a whole lot, those people did. They did awesome. And, you know, it's kind of like, man, everybody's taking it. So this is kind of fun. You don't know these people, but when your local gas station, you go there all the time, and you talk to your buddy there, and you're going to go, hey, did I ever talk to you about Jesus? It's kind of a little bit harder. I don't know, but it is. But the purpose of the gift of the Spirit is to edify others. Let everyone please his neighbor. That alone is an impossible task. Because some people like this way, some people like it this way. You have to be fluid. You know, some people say you need to be flexible. Better than that, be fluid. Be like water. Be like water. Now, 2 Corinthians. Turn to the Bible, to 2 Corinthians, chapter number 10. I'm going to stay in the New Testament. So, 2 Corinthians, chapter number 10 and verse 8. Since the church is in the New Testament, we'll figure we'll stay there. 2 Corinthians chapter number 10, and let me read you verse 8. The Bible says, for though I should boast somewhat more of our authority, which the Lord had given us for edification, and not for your destruction, I should not be ashamed. Even pastor, anybody in authority, it's for your edification. It's not so that we can be the big man up here, sitting in the big chair back here, telling you what to do, telling you how you should give your money, telling you how you should live your life. That's not what we're here for. Because you notice this, everything we say here, we have to live by. Because there's more of you looking at us than us looking at you. You ever think about that way? You know, some people think that the pastor's always looking at you. Turn that around just a little bit. Just notice that. How many of you guys are looking at me? Tons of you. Tons. Those eyeballs, pretty ugly. I mean, pretty ones. They're all looking at me. So, kind of turn your mentality a little bit, that we're not really looking at that. It's not for your destruction. We're not here to destroy you. We're here to kind of help you, and we need you to help us. And you're looking at us, and we're looking at you. Look at this. In chapter number 13 of the same book, 2 Corinthians, let's turn over there, and verse number 10, let me read this to you. Therefore I write these things, being absent, lest being present, I should use sharpness. Man, Paul might be a sharp preacher. According to the power which the Lord had given me to edification and not to destruction. Edification, edifying, building others, lifting others up, making them feel what they need to feel. Needed. You are needed. You are, whether you think it or not. You're needed. Doesn't matter how people treat you. Look at it this way for a minute. You know, the church, a bunch of us have weaknesses. And sometimes those weaknesses are very obvious. Do you think? some of our weaknesses are obvious to others, and we become distasteful. And it's hard to be friends. It's hard to do things together. But you can't. You can't do that. There's a bigger purpose here, the church. It's a bigger thing. Do you know we're not the only local church? There's other local churches. Thank God we have one here and appreciate this church. But it's not for our destruction. We don't come together to destroy each other. You ever think of that? So we have to be careful what we say. We have to be careful how we act. We have to be careful how we treat each other. Because we don't come here to destroy each other. We come here to edify. Build each other up. Build each other up. And that's what God says. And I think Paul wrote a lot of letters because he probably was a sharp preacher. And I'm just guessing that. He probably didn't have the time to go there or didn't have ways, you know, didn't have jet then, didn't have tickets or airfare. They probably didn't have those. Both probably took a long time. I don't know if he had a horse or not. He built tents, so he might have a trailer, but I don't know. But it took a long time. But he said he was sharp. He was a preacher. Man, he was a preacher. He'll tan your hide, somebody says. I don't know if I ever seen that, a preacher. All I see them is yelling and preaching. I never see them tan pop people's hide, but they say that in the pulpit. I don't know what that means. But he's sharp. Then he'll tell you what it is. He'll tell you like it is. He's not going to back up because he believes the truth. He's got a bigger picture. You know, sometimes we get to pleasing each other and we tolerate things that we should never tolerate. If God was in the same place. You know, I talked to you last week. I said Satan was not here because he's not omnipresent. But God is omnipresent, meaning he's here. Are we excited? Are we happy? I'm not going to be spooky. Maybe he's sitting right there. Maybe he's up here. I'm just like a little puppet he's using. I don't know. But are we excited? Jesus isn't among us. He calls us our beloved. You know what that means? Loved. Beloved. Loved. I love you. You're one of my loved ones. That's what Jesus said to you, my beloved. A criminal? A murderer? Paul? A murderer? Paul? Saul? A murderer? A murderer. Wrote 13 books of the Bible. A murderer. Look at it. Look at it. A murderer. A murderer. And God says, you're my beloved. Are you excited? Are you excited coming to church? Do you love church? Surely God loves church. And he loves you. It's amazing how the church is. 1 Corinthians chapter number 14. You can look at that later. But lastly. You know, God empowers the church. Empowers by the Holy Spirit of God. And not only that, we're gifted by the Holy Spirit of God for the purpose of edification. And there's lists in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 we read earlier of some of the things, 1 Ephesians 4, Romans 12, of different gifts that we can fall under. I don't have time to tell you this is your gift. I'm not Superman. I'm not the Holy Spirit. So you know what you need to do? If you don't know your spiritual gift, you need to talk to the one that knows your spiritual gift and the one that empowers you to do them. You know who that is? Guess. It's really hard. Guess. It's the Holy Spirit. It's really good to talk to him. It's really he's smart. Not any reverence on God. He's smart. He knows you. He really does. Whether you think you're not, he really knows who you are. And he made you for a purpose, whether you like it or not. Number three, one in the Holy Spirit, the church, empowered by the Holy Spirit, gifted by the Holy Spirit, is one in the Spirit. One. You know, I always thought that I have to work with the Holy Spirit. I have to work with Him. In a sense, I do. Because our relationship is this. Yes, sir. Mm-hmm. You want me to do this? Yes, sir. That's my relationship should be. But in that same idea, if we think about it that way, if we're co-partners, we think it like this. I have a say in things. Hey, Holy Spirit, I don't want to do this right now. Yeah, so-and-so wants me to go out, you know, and do things. I just don't want to do it right now. Yeah, I can't read my Bible. No. No, you always told me to read my Bible every day, but I'm not going to read it right now. I just have something to do, you know. Can you just mind your business for right now? I know we're supposed to be together, but can you stay right here? I'm gonna go over here. Co-partners. You guys have the same business. You have the same things. He's not totally your boss. But that's not what the Holy Spirit wants of us. He wants that idea, but he doesn't want us telling him what to do. He wants us to ask him what to do. And then in response, do what he says for us to do. Holy Spirit, what do you want me to do today? Oh, okay. You want to use my arm? What do you want me to do with it? Okay. Can we get this over here? Okay. You want to talk to this person here? Okay. Here you go. Oh, by Jesus Christ. And then he uses you that way. He's not going to be going like this by in here. Okay, get over here. Nope, right here. He doesn't do those things. He's so gentle. I can't even hear him. If I have my music so loud, I can't. And I'm so busy reading the Bible. And I said, oh, I know that this word means this way. And it's the Greek word for this. Is he there? Are you listening to him? Just because you're reading your Bible doesn't mean you're doing a good job of reading it and understanding it. The Holy Spirit must be there. He must be in your life all the time. All the time. All the time, everywhere. He must be there. You can't function as a Christian without the Holy Spirit. You can't. You can't. You say, I live in the flesh. Duh. Where's the Holy Spirit? He's always suppressed. You know, our feelings get hurt when things are said the wrong way, we think. And they did something wrong, and our feeling gets hurt. You know, the Bible says that the Holy Spirit gets grieved. He gets quenched. What happens if somebody's so important talking to you, per se the president, you ignore him? You think he'll ever talk to you again? I mean, something very important, the Holy Spirit. Is he still talking to you? He's still telling you things? We don't like his job because some of his job are really sharp. They're very, very, they said so good that you can't argue. You have somebody like that, they say something so good and you can't argue. You can't find a loophole. You know, like you tell a kid something and they'll find a loophole. Well, he didn't say it this way, so that means I can do this. But the Holy Spirit says it right there. Very, very specific. Pow! Hit you. There's no way around it. You can't hide. You can't. You're targeted. Boom! Right there. And there's no loophole. And in response to that, since he's not here physically, he's not going to grab you. You know what you do? La, 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 la. You saying something? La, 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 la. Ignore him and quench him and grieve him and say, forget you. I'm going to live my life. You know what he does, though? Hey, listen, I need you. Hey, somebody's lost. Your mom's not safe. Hey, I need you to give to church. Hey, I need you to start tithing. Hello. And he's drowned. His voice is drowned by distraction, by our feelings, by our emotion, by our anger, our pride. He's drowned. And he's grieved. Are you happy? Are you happy that the Holy Spirit has a relationship like that with you? Are you happy that he doesn't say anything? It's sad, guys, if you're not convicted. You better look at yourself. You better really look at yourself if you're no longer convicted by the pastor when he preaches, when an evangelist when he comes, when another teacher comes. If you're not convicted, you very be careful. You're very careful. Either one thing, your most holy, spiritual, righteous giant. You're the Holy Spirit yourself, so you don't get convicted. Right? Or you're not listening. Honestly, anything that's preached, this were the place I should be. Anytime the Word of God is preached, this is where I should be. Praying, asking for help, showing me better things. Every time. Do I do it every time? No, I don't. Especially when the preaching is right on me. I don't hardly come here. It's all right when pastor says, let's pray for our country. Sure, that's good. Man, I'm going to look good. Yeah, I'm going to come down. Pastor said, let's pray for the church. No problem, coming down. What happened when the pastor said, pray for those that are not tithing, and you don't give? Holy Spirit, shut up. Holy Spirit, stop saying something. Holy Spirit, and you're shaking in the pews. Maybe not shaking, and your heart is getting wrenched because you have no excuse. You have no excuse. You can't. There's no loophole. God knows you. God knows every fiber of your body. He knows every part of your emotion. He knows you exactly. You can't hide. You can't hide. Either you're going to be one with the Spirit, or you're going to run as a co-partner, which is okay, or you're going to run in the back burner and sit. Hello, guys. How you doing? Thank you. Not doing nothing. Which one are you? Are you one with the Spirit? Are you so sensitive to His voice? One with the Spirit of God is so good. It's a life to live. He that hath the Son hath life. And he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. You know, we're wondering why we don't have life and we don't have it more abundantly. Because we shun the life in us. We shun the Holy Spirit. No, I don't want to listen to you. I don't want any part of you. I don't want what you're doing in my life. God is working in us to convict us of sin, of judgment, of righteousness. The Holy Spirit does that. That is work. He draws man to God for salvation. And He needs people to meet them. We're ambassadors. You know what ambassadors are? Eliezers. We're the in-between. We're like Christ, the mediator. Although He didn't say that to us, because ultimately He's the only one. He's the only mediator. He's the only one that can say, you're forgiven of your sins, God? I forgive him my sins. Can you let him in? God says yes. He can't deny the Son. God cannot deny the Son. Thank God. Thank God for salvation. God cannot deny the Son. You know what it feels like when we grieve the Holy Spirit? You know how it feels? I don't normally do this, but I pray about it. You know what we do? Is that precious to us? Right? Is the Bible precious to us? You know what we do? You know what we do with the Bible? That's what we do. That's what we do with the Holy Spirit of God that wants to work inside of us. That's what we do with it. We kick it around. And then we go on our own. We try to witness on our own. We try to teach on our own. We try to live the Christian life on our own. We don't have power. Wonder why? Wonder why? Because we kick the life away from us. You guys do what you have to do. You do have to do. God doesn't force you. God doesn't force you to live with Him. God doesn't force you to live like Him. He doesn't. It's your choice. That's what we do with the Holy Spirit. You know how it feels? Does it feel really good? Does it feel really good right now? That's what we do with Him. That's what we do. That's what we do with Him. You know, the church has many members. Many members in it. Your hair doesn't look like my hair. Thank God. Because yours is beautiful. Mine's ugly. I don't have the same suit as you, brother. I don't have the same watch, Pastor. I'm not like you. And you're not like me. But I need you. Do you know that? I really need you. I need you to make it through. I do. Can you guys see that? Can we see that? Can we see that and do something about it? Are we really going to do that? We're many members, but one body. God is the head. By the way, you know what comes with the head? The mind, the mouth, the eyeballs, the ears. You know what we like to use? These. In response to our relationship with one another. You need to want to hear about him? What are they talking about? That's not our business. We're not the head of the church. God is. God is the one looking after people. God is the one talking about people. God is the one talking to people. God is the one hearing their cries, hearing their really, really, really deep cries that we don't see. We're the hands. We're the little fingers polished, some of you for the ladies. We're the toes. We're the knees. We're the legs. That's what we are. We're the heart. We're the organ. We're the skin. That's what we are. Can we accept that? It's hard work. You know what the feet has to do? Go to face the buffalo this afternoon. Not for all of you, because you got other things to do. It has to go to work and be to glorify people? No, glorify God. I don't come to work to please my boss. I come to there to please God. That's the purpose of work. Any work you're in, whether you're building a house, whether you're doing concrete work, doesn't matter. It's to glorify God. He's the one that needs to be glorified. What's the Holy Spirit doing with us? I don't have time to read all the scriptures. I'm out of time. We're empowered by the Holy Spirit of God because we're saved. He dwells inside of us. And He has gifted us with a diversity of gifts. One to another person. Some of you guys have more than this person. Some of you guys may have five. This person may have one. That's not the point. You're not special. You know what you have to do? You have more. You have more to do. So much is given, much is required. You have more to do. It's not you're special. You need her because you don't have her gift. You might have 5 or 10, but you don't have the one she has. And that's important too. You read that. There's comely parts of the body. There's uncomely parts. There's parts of disdain. There's parts that are exalted. You read it. You'll be blown away. For the church is a body. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you for your word. I pray that you'll convict us, Lord, in this of the teaching of your church. Lord, we love the church. And Lord, I pray to help us. In Jesus' name, amen.